Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0.
Yes, thank you for joining us this morning. And as always, we are grateful that you are taking time out of your day to listen to our humble little show. So thanks for that.
Absolutely. We hope that you are having a good first part of your weekend and that you've got some relaxation planned, because I know that's what we have planned.
Well, that's what you have planned. I got a busy day ahead of me, lady.
It's not going to be that big of a deal.
You'll be running around, yeah. But no, I can't believe we're already a third of the way through March. That's crazy to me. This year is flying by, and I'm really rather fine with that.
Yeah, so. I can't wait until this cold weather's gone. I'm fed up now.
Yeah, you're actually kind of fiending for like different sport type stuff.
Yeah,
like baseball and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm getting excited for the Tigers' new season. Hopefully, the new coach can bring us out of the slump that we've been in and maybe get into the playoffs and
that
all
would
that
be
good stuff.
That'd be a nice first year for him.
Because
so.
I've really sort of given up on the Red Wings, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's been a rough season for them. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking to see. But, you know, I'm sure at some point they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's the sports portion of our show. Thank you.
So today we have a interesting guest on the show. She is...
Before you introduce her, I got to say this because this is funny. We just got a message from our producer that says, quote, "You're not allowed to talk sports ball on an LGBT network."
LGBT.
I'm groggy. Give me a break. Scott, we love you. You know that.
Sorry, Scott. We didn't mean to offend your sensibilities.
Yes, we will.
We'll refrain.
We'll refrain. Please introduce our guest.
Okay. So our guest today is, she's what's a good word to describe her? She is kind of a dynamo when it comes to mental health advocacy. She's all over the internet. She writes blogs, and she's even gotten some picked up by some pretty prestigious newspapers and things like that. So, you know, we're excited to have her today. She's prolific. There you go. That's a good word.
Prolific. She's prolific.
I'm too sleepy to think of fancy words.
Oh, we're not talking about sleep. You cut that out.
Okay.
If I can't talk about it, you can't talk about it.
Yes, sir.
Nah.
Would you let me get through this introduction, please? I've tried to introduce her three times now.
Yes, you have.
Okay, so began her own 501c3 charity, and we're really excited to have Melody Nolan on board with us today. Thoughts on tackling this demon that is suicide prevention. So, Melody, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yay, hi.
I love your introduction. Thank you.
Yeah, it would have been better if somebody hadn't been interrupting me the whole time.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
I'm sorry.
It happened.
So before we get into our questions, you don't have any questions for us yet, do you?
No, but I just wanted to just clarify something for accuracy's sake, which is that our 501c3 status for Treasure Lives is pending, so we're not quite there yet. So just wanted to put that out there.
I was actually going to ask you about that if it had gone through yet or what the status was. So we're pending. Pending is good.
Yeah. There was a story behind it, and so it kind of took a while, but it fortunately was like a miracle, and so I'm very grateful for the whole process.
Yay.
So where does your mental health journey begin, Melody?
My mental health journey begins probably as far back as I can remember. I was one of those people that everybody always labeled as extremely emotional, you know, and very dramatic. And part of that, I think, is because I'm a musician and I have kind of that artist mentality. But I'm also just kind of a creative fireball, and I do feel things very deeply. And that said, I did have a traumatic childhood, and so I've had my own battles with PTSD. And I believe that I probably had a predisposition to depression as well, because that seems to be something that I have just struggled with as far back as I can remember. It's like even when things are going well, I'm still battling this cloud. So I think that that's been in there too, as well as anxiety, you know, and trauma work, all of those kinds of things. So it started my mental health journey. Well, I think for all of us, it starts the day that we're born, and the imprints of just our experiences and our environment. And as far as my battle with mental illness, I couldn't put a date on it, but I would have to say that by my late teens, things were pretty intense.
Okay. Yeah, that's
something that we hear quite a bit.
Yeah, that's kind of an across the board thing that we've really come across. It's just, it seems like I wonder, and I have to look into it and see if there's any studies on this, but I wonder if there isn't some kind of link to puberty.
Yeah.
You know, just with what we've seen and heard and talked with so many people
in my
about
experience.
And well, I'm including you in that. Yeah, it just, it's prevalent. It really is,
mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, I mean, it makes sense. You know, you're physically, your body's going through all these changes and everything. And, you know, if you're going through physical changes, why wouldn't your brain also go through some kind of change, you know, and maybe people come through it unscathed and maybe they don't,
yeah.
You know? So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's the hormonal changes, and I mean, mm-hmm. Our brains aren't even fully developed until we're approximately 25, and we're just being inundated with all this information and experiences. And I know for me, you know, and of course this was a different era, but you know, when it took until my late teens before I really had the freedom to explore my options in terms of what I wanted to do, if I wanted to, for example, leave home, which I did choose to do. And I voluntarily went into the foster care system. And well, of course there were things to back that, because the courts won't just take you because you want to. But I did initiate the process on my own. And so I think, you know, part of that journey does come with like the freedom and the realization of what your options may be as you get older. And for me, I was very fortunate as opposed to turning to drugs or alcohol or other destructive behaviors, I turned to the court system. So.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, Melody.
Yes.
What is Treasure Lives, and what is your goal with it?
Okay. Well, Treasure Lives is founded in memory of my brother, Jonathan Lazarus. That was the Lazarus home was the home that I remained in as a foster child, and so I considered him to be my brother. Mm-hmm. And 5 years ago, at the age of 28, he did successfully. No, I don't like to use that word with suicide, because success is like a positive thing, and this is not positive. He was able to. He executed suicide. Carried through with it. And so this got me really thinking, because I have struggled with suicidal ideation as far back as I can remember on different levels, but literally every single day in some way, shape, or form experience these thoughts that I could end my life today if I wanted to, and on some level I want to, every single day. So this hit me really, really hard when he actually did. And I had a roommate who committed suicide, and I've known a few other people who have as well. So this was the first person really, really close to me. And everyone was really, they were sad, they were understanding, they treated him kind of like better in death than they did in life. And I was just really mad, okay? I was mad and I was jealous. I was jealous as heck. I remember that night diving under my covers, screaming at him, saying, "Are you now giving me permission to do the same thing?" And, yes. And so at that point, I thought, you know, we need to talk about this. And so what I did was, I didn't talk about it at first. The history behind Treasure Lives was that I started an eBay store called Lazarus Treasures in his memory. And it was basically a listing site, and the sellers donated a percentage of the profit of their sale to the Yellow Ribbon Suicide Prevention Program through the eBay giving program. And then I realized that I know nothing about marketing and I know nothing about eBay. And that this is just like not what I want to be doing. However, I am a writer, or at least I have discovered that I am, and I'm creative and usually well spoken. And so I thought, well, forget the eBay thing. Let's do something a little more tailored to what I actually have to offer people. And so out of Lazarus Treasures, then came Treasure Live, which can actually be, and that is the correct pronunciation. Thank you very much. It can also be interpreted as treasure lived, meaning that the treasure of life lives in all of us.
Very nice.
So that's kind of the history. Yes, I like the name, the duality. It suits me well. So basically, we're very young, and my our missions are the prevention of suicide and the promotion of mental wellness, because the two go together. And I do have some thoughts regarding suicide prevention, because I have been asked numerous times, why don't I just volunteer for a well-established organization? Mm-hmm. And if you would like to know, I can tell you.
I would ask about that, but honestly, if you feel strongly, and you do, about the thing, you know, I almost feel it's better to do what you're doing, you know? I mean, right. Some people are, you know, they, how do I want to put this? Some people are better with taking the lead and forging their own path, and other people are better at jumping on an existing bandwagon and going with that flow. And, you know, we each find our own way in a situation. So I don't think you need to justify going with another organization versus starting your own. I think that this is enough of a prevalent problem in this society that, you know, you're doing what you feel is best for you in your situation. And you honestly, you have more control over the situation that way. So no, you don't have to explain that at all, Melody. You know, I completely respect, you know, your decision to start your own thing. And I think it's great. And I think that's something to be proud of, that you took the initiative to start of your brother. So, yeah.
Thank you, Joe. And I just I want to reiterate that point to all of our listeners out there. Exactly what you just said. Some people are meant to kind of are more leaders, and some people are more direction oriented. And whatever you are, embrace it.
Exactly. Exactly. We all, you know, water finds its level, and we all eventually you figure out what your strengths and your weaknesses are and what you can do and what you can do. And, you know, having an awareness of yourself and what you can and can't do is that's a superpower in my book. You know, a lot of us, myself included, kind of float through life like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know. I don't know what I'm good at and these type of things. And, you know, so when you have that little blast of figuring that out, you know, you hold on to it tight with both hands, you know, and you do it, you know, you do it.
Yeah, so. You do.
So part of your focus is fundraising. What are your goals with this, and where will you apply the funds that you raise?
Actually one of my specific goals, and this is a new one, is that I would really like to, we have some prototypes of our products. They're, you know, they're bracelets, rings, earrings, et cetera, with our new logo, which now incorporates the semicolon, which in the mental health community represents suicide prevention, and our particular logo is pause, semicolon, not stop. And in the aftermath of the shootings at the high schools in Florida, and dating back to Sandy Hook, I've been listening to a lot of these kids talk, and I'm hearing a lot of survivor's guilt. And I do know that can be, of course, a trigger for suicide. And so what I would like to do is to raise the funds, or perhaps even have an organization donate a metal stamp of our logo. And then be able to just send out keychains or something to all of the students and faculty survivors over there. So, which is several thousand, but they cost like about a nickel a piece to make. So, that's my recent thing. Now, that said, I need just general funding. I'm waiting for the 501c3 to go through to apply for grants, et cetera. And so right now I'm pretty much funding it on my own with my own freelance writing, et cetera. So just anything to help maintain the site, the blog, and help me do some of the things I'm not good at, such as marketing, because I want to reach people. I want to be more than a pretty website. If people don't see it and people don't engage, then my purpose is not fulfilled. So any general donations, of course, are appreciated. But right now, I really would like to get those prototypes made specifically for the purpose of those students and faculty survivors.
That's a good focus to have.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? And, you know, that's one thing that I think is, you brought up a good point, too, is, you know, there's been so many shootings lately. And, you know, I don't want to go into the whole gun control debate
thing. No, we don't do that.
We don't do that here. But... one thing that gets ignored is the PTSD and the survivor's guilt that these poor kids go through. And kudos to the ones that are speaking out. You know, those kids should be absolutely just praised for what they're doing, because it shows true activism, true, pure activism. But, you know, at the end of the day, these poor kids still have to be able to sleep at night. You know, and just having the rest of the community be there for them, and, you know, knowing that this one event in their lives has forever impacted everything they do going forward, you know, everything. you know, going out, going to the store, going to the movies, going, having any kind of social life, going to a club, you name it. They're going to look at it with a skewed lens now. So,
anything that we can do to support them,
yeah,
is, you know, is paramount.
Exactly.
To,
yes. And we have to remember that for everyone that we hear speaking out, there are several hundred that are not able to.
Yeah, exactly.
And that for every one of those kids, and I want to include the faculty and everyone who has gone through that trauma, it has extended to their families, to their homes, to everyone they know. And another goal that I have for Treasure Lives, which funding will go towards, is what I'm calling an experiential mental wellness curriculum that I would like to use. And if you want, I can tell you more about it. If not, it's on the website. But my goal is in a year or two when, although I really wish it wouldn't happen, but basically the novelty wears off and the school has been forgotten, I would like to be able to get myself out there to that school and continue to provide the support in person, preferably with my curriculum if I can pull it all together in time, as well as the funding. So,
cool. Well, I tell you what, we're at this point going to take a little break.
Okay.
So we're going to be listening to It Gets Better from Blake McIver.
Sounds fantastic.
Keep listening. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe. The beautiful lady next to me is Rebecca. And if you're just tuning in, we are currently speaking to the wonderful and talented Miss Melody Nolan. And before we say anything, I gotta mention this really quick because I haven't brought this up in a long time. But kudos to our producer Scott for the music that he comes up with during the course of our show. The artists that he works with are just—they're amazing. They're very talented, and his music choices are just brilliant. So, just really quick, a shout out to our producer. Hey. Yay. Yay, Scott.
Yeah, and then we're going to have to work on your return introduction because you're starting to sound a little bit like the Lawrence Welk show. The wonderful and talented.
A wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, so. It's pretty bad.
Oh, shuddy.
All right, so let's get to our next question for our lovely guest.
Pour you a tall glass of shut up juice over here. I'm kidding.
Nice,
I'm kidding. I'm teasing her. I love my wife. You guys know that. Melody.
Joe.
Are you there? Hey, there you are.
I sure am.
You're like, I'm listening to dysfunction at its finest. What advice would you give for someone who is newly diagnosed with a mental illness or is having suicidal ideations?
Let's see. Those are kind of two different questions.
Which one would you like me to tackle first? You know what? Let's go with the suicidal ideations one because we don't cover that one quite as much.
Okay. Happy to do so. First of all, to anyone out there who is experiencing this, I'm sorry. And I feel for you because, as I said, it is something that I struggle with to some degree, at least every day. And I do have a history of suicide attempts in my past, so I do know how intense it can become. And so the first thing is that I need to say is a common pattern that I have found among us is that we beat ourselves up for these feelings. And what we need most during any depressive episode, but particularly when it's at the point you're considering taking your own life, is compassion. And usually if you're at that point, your well is pretty dry in terms of giving that to yourself. But if there is anything or a pet or a plant or a flower that just gives you any inkling of compassion, cling to that with all your might while you do the following, which is to figure out for you what is the most comfortable way to get help. For some people, that's calling a hotline because you can remain anonymous on a hotline. They even have them now. I know that Yellow Ribbon has it where you can do it via chat. So some people have, literally trouble voicing using your voice to speak. You can do it over chat.
Yeah, crisis text line too. You can text them to 741-741, and they're really doing some great work. I know that I trained with them for a little while, and I was going to be one of the people that took the calls, but, and I hate to admit this, but it became a little bit overwhelming for me just because of my situation. So I struggled a little bit with the training because it was just too real and too much for me, during my recovery. So I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Thank you for providing the number because I didn't have it in front of me. And you made a really good point, Rebecca. I'm sure that we all, like we were talking about earlier, we all have our gifts in terms of how we can best serve and support each other. And it's really important to know our limitations. Mm-hmm. And so, I commend you for learning mm-hmm. what you could and then saying that I'm going to take that and step back from that particular venue. And I will say that that particular text line has helped me on more than one occasion. So shout out to Yellow Ribbon. okay, so that's one way. Another way, if you feel comfortable with it, is like particularly hysterical and like having an. Some people experience the suicidal ideation. They're very quiet and they can barely move and they're just like stuck. And other people are literally hysterical. If you're hysterical and you're open to it, I highly recommend going to the emergency room because sometimes just a simple sedative will actually, you know, calm the situation to the point that, you know, I mean, I'll be real here. Yes, you may be hospitalized, but they're very careful about that. And, you know, if you really do calm down and this isn't something that you don't have previous suicide attempts, et cetera, you know, they will assess you, but you may be able to go home. I don't know. It depends on the situation. It's up to the doctor. But if you're hysterical, it's like, don't, you don't need to live in that, you know, try to get some help. And that's kind of my message overall. If you can hold on and then seek counseling, if you have a friend that you know also struggles with mental health, maybe you can turn to that friend. Maybe you would feel safer with that person. Or ask them for a resource. The Treasure Lives has a resource page. There's also tons of resource pages all over the internet. But my message is, I think that when you're feeling suicidal, it is probably the most desolate, isolating, intense feeling, like all at once, that there is. And so the best thing to do is to try to connect with someone, whether it's someone you know, like I said, if you have that safe person, whether you can go to someone or call a hotline, but to connect because you need help. You can't work through that all alone, and you shouldn't have to. Suicidal ideation doesn't come out of nowhere. Something triggered it, whether it was a long time ago or it was yesterday or it was in that moment. And it's going to take some time to get through. And it's just too much for any one person to work through all alone. If it wasn't too much, then you wouldn't be suicidal. So The bottom line is find a connection.
That's a good piece of advice. You know, definitely don't isolate yourself in that moment. If you're having that bad of a day that you're having suicidal ideations, you know,
the worst thing you can do is isolate yourself from other people.
Right. Seek out somebody, anybody, you know, a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, or if necessary, a complete stranger, you know, call a crisis line, text crisis text line, you know, whatever you can do, but, you know,
do something
exactly.
And I do actually have a little bit of a piece of advice as well when it comes to that type of thing. Don't go on the internet and just blindly seek out help from, you know, your followers on Twitter or what have you, because there's always a possibility that you're not going to get the reaction that you're hoping to get. And that sends you spiraling down even further.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen to people. I've had people approach me that I didn't even know that messaged me, and I didn't get the notifications for the message because it went into the other file. And they wanted help. They wanted to know if I could help them, and I didn't answer right away. And then they were like, oh, well, F you, and I don't need you kind of thing. And they didn't get what they needed from me. They didn't get what they needed from anybody else in their, you know, Twitter feed. So they just became more desolate and full of despair.
And the converse of that, too, is the trolls that are out there.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
If you're putting something out on Twitter, and the only reason we're singling out Twitter is because it's the, you know, the most... instant gratification, I guess, as far as getting a response. But the issue is that while you will find sympathetic ears on Twitter, and the mental health Twitter community is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of friends, a lot of friends through there that we love. But, you know, there are also people that will see that
and prey on you.
Yeah. And will encourage you to go through with it. And just to them, it's all a big joke, you know. And so you have to be kind of guarded. So if you can, you know, kind of avoid that, or, you know, if you're going to go through Twitter, you know, DM someone that you know really well through them.
Right.
You know, do it that way. Don't just make a random post on there, you know, or, you know, go the other route, and, you know, if you're able to, pick up the phone and call. If you're not able to, text somebody, you know, but whatever you do, don't isolate, do something.
I want to thank you both for sharing that, because just in my own journey, I'm relatively new to all of social media and trying to find that balance and breaking the stigma, sharing my own story, being an advocate, and being safe. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, and Beck's kind of a old hat pro when it comes to Twitter at this point, and I surprisingly just celebrated my 5-year anniversary on Twitter yesterday. Which was,
you didn't use it for the first 4 years.
Well, no. You know,
I didn't know what it was until I opened Treasure Live. Okay. So.
Yeah, you know,
it took me a long time to get a clear explanation from somebody about what a hashtag was.
Yeah, and then I'm coming to her, honey, how do I use a hashtag? You know,
I'm still learning.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn with it, but, you know, Twitter is a great resource, and like I said, there's an awesome mental health community out there on Twitter.
Definitely.
And, you know, a lot of the guests that we've had on the show, we've found through Twitter, and
like me,
you. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and, you know, it's great for reaching out to people, and I personally use it for a lot of my own personal political views. So, you know, it's great because then you are interacting that way. Plus, I've talked to some celebrities, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's always the cool part.
That's always the fun part, you know.
So, Melody, what do you think are the biggest misconceptions that people have about suicide?
Well, one of them is, I guess this is a dichotomy as to whether or not it's a misconception, but I know I often hear, oh, well, she just wants attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Well, my answer to that is maybe. And if so, maybe she actually needs some attention.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm not talking about someone who's seeking attention in terms of manipulating you by threatening suicide. I'm talking about someone who, you know, who either lives an isolated life or at least internally lives an isolated life and may need some connection. So when people say, you know, oh, she needs attention, my answer is give her some. So it's pretty simple. One misperception is, another one is, if someone has threatened to commit suicide before and or actually attempted before and survived, that they won't do it again. I need to break that up a little bit. If they have threatened to and they've continued to threaten and they've never acted on it, then people start to think that, oh, she's all talk or he's all talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true either. You never know when that talk is going to turn into action. And that's part of what you need to assess, if someone does come to you in terms of suicidal ideation, as to where are they in the thought process? Are they thinking about it? Have they had it with life? Are they in the planning stages? Are they ready to act? Because your response is, you know, going to kind of depend on those factors. And right. the other one is that for people who have attempted suicide in the past and survived at least once, but even more, that then I think sometimes we begin to embrace a false sense of immortality, either like myself as a survivor of a suicide attempt or for people that I know. We kind of start to think, oh, I'll just try to do this 5 times, so it probably won't work the next time either. Mm-hmm. And statistically, and unfortunately I don't have the numbers in front of me, but statistically that's not true either. So I think those are some of the misperceptions, that just because you have talked about it or wanted to do it and have not acted on it means that you will not, or just because you have attempted to and survived means that the next attempt you will also survive. Not necessarily true.
Right.
And another good one is that it's the coward's way out of life.
Yeah.
That was a personal favorite of mine after my suicide attempt that I heard from someone who I'd been friends with for more than 20 years. Needless to say, we're no longer friends, but that was her way of dealing, I guess, with the fact that I had attempted suicide, was to tell me that, you know, I'm a coward and my life couldn't possibly be that bad.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, you know, you're not the one living through it every day. You don't know what she's going through.
Right.
You know, how dare you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that I think isn't really considered is, you know, you mentioned people that have mentioned it but haven't tried it, or have tried and it hasn't, you know, they survived it. This is one thing I'm gonna admit something right here, right now, is even I have had suicidal ideations in the past. I think that's something humans go through. For me, one of the things that always stood in the way of it and stopped it, and maybe this is just my own rational mind, is, you know, I've got this feeling of, you know, things would be better if I just ended it. But, you know, I'll think of, you know, the other people in my life, you know, how it would affect them, you know, all these different things, you know, and that's common too. You know, some people will consider this stuff, some people won't. But the point that I'm trying to get at is sometimes people that have talked about it but have not attempted it, it may only be because the perfect storm hasn't set in to do it. You know, they'll consider, well, if I do this, this will, I'll use myself as an example. All right. This is strictly hypothetical in what I'm saying. Okay. So please take it as hypothetical. If I were considering it, you know, what I would think of would be, you know, what's going to happen to Rebecca if I'm gone, what's going to happen to our pets, you know, what's going to happen to the house? Will she be able to keep it, or would she be homeless? You know, these are just some of the thoughts that go through your mind. And when you've got roadblocks like that, that are suddenly eliminated, like, you know, again, hypothetically speaking, you win the lottery. Well, now the house is paid off. Now she's set for life, but I'm still miserable. Well, mm-hmm. Now I can do something about that, you know. Sometimes it's just it's like trying to open a lock, you know, the tumblers don't always line up, and it's when the tumblers line up that action is taken. So, I don't really know where I was going with that, and I apologize. I had a really
thank you, Joe. No, that's great. And I commend you, and that's so important that when we can find things that we can look out. But I mean, ideally, we would all have the self-esteem and intrinsic value to want to live for ourselves. But a lot of times we can't. And so if we can find that person, that mission, that thing, that whatever it is to keep us going, hey, that's good enough for me because it keeps us going. But you're right, things happen. And oftentimes people, I know for myself, my thinking gets really distorted. And I will decide, I will literally turn things around and decide that people who are important to me and who have expressed to me that I am, you know, a blessing in their life, I will completely turn this around and decide that I'm a burden to them and how much better off they will be if I am not here. I'm a master manipulator of my mind there. And so I think it's really great. That's awesome what you said, Joe, that when you can really honest kind of real perspective and not have all those twisting everything around, that's really good. Because one of the number one common factors among people who do attempt suicide is the feeling of being a burden. And that can be really hard when you have the chronic depression and or chronic suicidal ideation, because it's like you feel like you're always in a crisis. People are always seeing you in a crisis. And reality is people do get tired of this and or they don't know what to do with this. And okay, I may get some flack for this, but sometimes to some people, maybe it's true. Maybe they do perceive you as a burden. But the answer to that then is we need to find other people. And I'm also always saying it takes a village, because no one person, whether it's with mental illness or anything else, can meet everyone else's needs.
Right. You know, one thing that we're both a big fan of this saying, you know, you can be too much for some people. Those aren't your people, you know. We love that. We both love that. Got a question for you. Please tell us, this is a statement more than a question. Please tell us about the hashtag Awesome Hero.
Oh, thank you. I love the opportunity to tell this story. Okay. So, the Awesome Hero, there's a little bit of a story behind it. Which is that there is a paramedic, by the name of Kyle Jacobson in the state of Washington. And he was in a Toastmasters group with my late foster mom. And he gave a speech there. And as a result, she connected me with him. And the bottom line is that everyone was telling him that he was a hero because of his profession. And he countered, no, I'm a hero because of the way I use my work. And his story was that one time he went to the scene of a suicide attempt of a teenage boy. And everyone was yelling at the kid, you know, how could you be so stupid, blah, 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 blah. So in the ambulance, he told the boy that he was going to give him a prescription and kind of got the boy to laugh by saying, you know, I'm not allowed to give medicine, so don't tell anybody, you know. So his prescription was, you know, every time you hear that voice or that thought, you know, I am not good enough, I'm terrible, I deserve to die, whatever it is, I want you to stop and replace that thought and say, I am awesome. Okay. Fast forward several hours. We're in the hospital. Okay. He's getting ready. Kyle's getting ready to leave. He hears the nurse go in and check on the boy. The nurse goes in and says, you know, hi, you know, how are you doing? And the boy says, I'm awesome. So that is the history behind it. So what I have done with this is to try to take it into turn it into kind of a gratitude movement, because I believe that one of the fundamental roots right now of depression, and which of course can lead to suicidal ideation, but this is just really, really basic, is that I don't think that we have enough encouragement and reinforcement for just kind of the innate goodness in each other and the basic things we do. It's like you think you have to be an Olympic winner to be worth anything anymore, or you have to get, you know, straight A's, or, you know, or you're not worth anything or whatever. And I just, it's like, that's not true. I know we were talking before the show about how, you know, you often, you know, you give back those flowers, and that can be a small thing that makes a big difference. So the Awesome Hero campaign is about those small things that make big differences, that it doesn't take much to be a hero. And I think one of my first posts was when I first moved here. I just recently relocated, and I was staying in a hotel because none of my stuff had gotten here yet. And a housekeeper saw me buying out the vending machine. And So she came. It was like 2 a.m. because I had just gotten in from the flight and everything. And so she opened up the kitchen for me. And not only that, I swear she brought out like everything that there possibly was to eat in the kitchen. And so I went online and I just put, you know, what I just told you. The housekeeper at the La Quinta saw me buying out the vending machine. She opened the kitchen. She is my hashtag awesome hero. And so it can be anything from that to, you know, my friend called me today, or my husband brought me roses, or anything. Or sometimes, like, I'll go online and I'll see someone says, you know, I'm 9 days sober. I'll say, hey, your commitment to sobriety is awesome. You're an awesome hero. Hashtag awesome hero. So I'm trying to just sort of move that along. I see the hashtag Me Too movement and how it's just like changing the world and being kind of a combination naive visionary. I would love to see what would happen if hashtag awesome hero were just as big and people were just tagging each other all over social media with the little things that make the big differences.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
you know, it's very sweet too, you know, cause it shows, an appreciation there, you know?
Yes.
You know, so that's one thing that I know we see in life is, you know, sometimes you do stuff and it's not appreciated, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't take much to show somebody they're appreciated, you know, just getting a little attaboy, you know, a little clap on the back. You know, it doesn't always have to be, you know, a big show of, you know, made to be a big deal, or, you know, a big financial benefit or anything like that. Sometimes just being acknowledged goes a long way, you know. Just being told, hey, you did a good job. You know, I'll do that. I do that at work. You know, I'm at, you know, sometimes when I'm getting back and, you know, my route went really well and my truck was loaded really nicely, I'll get back and I'll tell the loaders, hey, you guys did a great job. You know, thank you. And I know it goes a long way. I've got a great rapport with those guys, you know, just because of stuff like that. You know, that I make sure they know that the job they do is beneficial to the job that I do, you know?
That's great. So, I mean, I hear all the time people say, you know, oh, well, you know, I appreciate you. And I'm like,
no.
How? Or they say, and if we go back to mental health on a deeper level, you know, mm-hmm. I care about you. You know, I love you. Well, how do I know that if I haven't heard from you in 6 months? I'm not psychic.
Right.
You know, but love, friendship, appreciation, all of these things, they're a verb. They're a verb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you know, there are, you know, especially certain people in your life where, yeah, you know that they care about it. You know, Rebecca knows how much I love her. I know how much she loves me, but that doesn't stop us from telling each other that we love each other.
Hundreds of times a day.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you know. And buying the flowers and doing whatever. You got to show it. You got to show it to know it. You know?
That's right. So our time is winding down, but we need to ask you, number one, what's next on the horizon for you? And number two, where can people find you on social media?
Okay. Well, what's next on the horizon for me is the development of the mental wellness curriculum that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully if I can raise the funds, I really to get some of these prototypes of the products made and out to those students and faculty members, those survivors of the schools. And on social media, our website is www.treasurelives.org. And from that website, you can link to both Facebook and Twitter.
Awesome. Thanks for spelling that out. you know, that, and that's really the best way, you know, just going to the website, tracking you down from there. So Melody, it's been awesome talking with you today. Thank you so much for taking the time, out of what we believe is a crazy busy schedule for you. And, you know, it's been an honor and a lot of fun having you on the show. And, you know, if anything new on the horizon with Treasure Lives or, you know, with any of the fundraising comes up, anything that you want to, you know, make people aware of, definitely please, you know, let us know. And, you know, we would love to have you back on. That would be great. And also, we want to take a minute to plug next week's show.
Very, very exciting show for us.
It's a kind of a big deal.
Can I say thank you real quick? Thank you. It's been an honor too, and I'm smiling ear to ear. So thank you so much.
Oh, it, absolutely.
Yeah, stay on the line for just a minute, and we'll get you on the other side of the break, but. For those of us that are regular listeners, you may know Caitlin and Tyler from MTV's Teen Mom. We're going to be talking with them next week. I've gotten to know Tyler in the last couple of weeks, and he's really, really a stand-up guy and really is really thinking heavily about what he can do to end stigma. And, you know, obviously with Caitlin having just come out of a facility, she is really thinking about it as well. And they approached us and asked to be on the show, and we're really, really fortunate to have them. So
we're honored.
It's a 2-hour show next week.
Yep.
And,
so make some popcorn, settle in.
Yep.
And, you know, we are going to close out today's show with Alexander Rodriguez and No One Is Alone. Have a great weekend, everybody.
No one here to guide you. Now you're on your own. Only me beside you. Still you're not alone. No one is alone. Truly, no one is alone. Sometimes people leave you halfway through the wood. Others may deceive you. You decide what's good. You decide alone. But no one is alone. People make mistakes. Fathers, mothers, people make mistakes. Holding to their own, thinking they're alone. Honor their mistakes, everybody makes one another's terrible mistakes. Witches can be right, and giants can be good. You decide what's right, you decide what's good. Just remember, someone is on your side, someone else is not. While you're seeing your side, maybe you forgot that they are not alone.
Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir of the Year, It's Not Your Journey. It's Not Your Journey is the true story of one woman's 20-year battle with mental illness and her recovery from a suicide attempt in 2013. Rebecca Lombardo candidly reveals her real and raw emotions in dealing with depression, bipolar disorder, the loss of her mother and brother, and more. Pick it up today on Amazon.com or visit www.RebeccaLombardo.com for more information.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.